Good morning. Welcome, and glad you're here in our service today. Got lots of stuff that we want to share with you, so we'll get right into it. Next Sunday morning, we will be having our annual Easter egg hunt for kids, and we need your help in bringing the plastic Easter eggs filled with candy, and you pile them back up out there in the kitchen back there, and you can help us out with that. We'll have to have those. We're going to, the youth Sunday school class will hide those. So the kids will come to the normal class, just like normal Sunday school next week, and then the teachers will bring them and get them ready for us, okay? So, but that will be next Sunday morning, and appreciate your help as we look forward to that. Always a special time, a fun time. We look forward to it. If you've probably noticed, there's projects underway as we are making some changes and some upgrades and improvements in our building and the area around our building. The playground's been dismantled. And by the way, some of you have asked, the two climber apparatuses back here by the trash barrel, they stay. All that other stuff out there, if there's anything out there that you could use at your home, you're welcome to take it and use it. So whatever. Take it with you and go home. But anyway, going to have got a new playground on the way. We'll be here sometime, we hope, by the end of this week. So lots of things going on. We are also in the process of going to replace lighting. You never even notice that up there, do you? But we got a lot of light bulb burned out up there, and we can't. I haven't found a big enough gun yet to make somebody crawl up there and fix them. So, but anyway, no, we're going to replace those, and so that's a couple of the projects. We got some concrete work and just some general stuff that we're going to do to upgrade and make our facility. It's a beautiful building, and we want to keep it that way. So appreciate all your help. There were some kids came out yesterday. I think Jackson, or not Jackson, Josie and Parker and Gage and Lauren, Joey, Adam and Addison came out and worked about all day long yesterday, working on the playground recreational area back there. And just appreciate. We got a new classroom all decorated up this, with something new this morning. So. Thank you for all those of you who stepped up to make this special. So we're looking forward to that. One more last reminder concerning your contribution. If you would need a record of the contributions that you made to the church last year, you have to specifically request those from our church treasurer. There are forms at the front and back door that you can sign. She'll get you taken care of. You can see her directly, Linda Cox, and she'll get that information to you. Guys, don't forget that coming up in April, the second Saturday of April, and that'll be the 13th, our men's breakfast. We look forward to that and encourage you to make plans to come. The ladies' Bible study with Beth meets every Thursday. I think they finished the study that they had been on and getting ready to start a new one. So, this week? Okay, all right. So, keep that. And also one further reminder about the widow's barrels. As you come in the front and back door, you'll see the yellow barrel and the red barrel. And what that is, we collect food items for the Stroud Food Pantry. Our church is working with them over there and providing items for our folks of our neighboring areas who have special food needs. So I encourage you to be sure that you keep that on the front burner of matters of concern for you. So. I encourage you to be sure that you take care of that. What other announcements? Any other announcements? And just so that you'll know, spring is Tuesday, okay? So we might have another day or two before then of cold weather, but it's still wintertime, okay? Spring, officially, the 19th. So, but it looks like spring outside, doesn't it? Yeah, it really does. So. Any other announcements? In our Sunday school this morning, there were 62 present. Our Sunday school offering was $342. Birthdays or anniversaries you share with us this morning?
Let's stand and sing happy birthday this morning. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Let's turn to welcome your friends and family this morning. Join with us this morning. This is the day.
Father, what a blessed day it is that we get to come together in your house. It is a very special time that you bless us with, that you give us, that you want us to enjoy and realize that this is something that, God, is for our good, for our benefit, as we spend these times together, as we sing, as we study your word, as we fellowship, as we spend these times with your people in your presence, Father, good things happen, and we are grateful for that. Thank you for bringing these to us today. May what we do in this service lift up our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has said that if he is lifted up, he will draw to him those who need to be saved. That's our desire, that people will be saved. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, we'll continue this morning with Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other to trust and obey. And we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust.
Now, if you'll stand with us, we'll turn over to our offertory hymn this morning, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Eternally
every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior is my all and all. Standing on the promises of God. Promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Great, gracious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, wonderful day you've blessed us with, Lord. Another opportunity to be in your house, to serve you, to worship you, Lord. Father, this morning we just ask that your presence be known, Lord, through your word as we study it, as it is brought to us with Brother Mike, Lord. Just ask that you would speak through him, each and every heart here, Lord. Just pierce it, Lord. Give us something to take with us through the coming week. And Father, as we take your offering, we ask that you use it for what you see fit. And Lord, those that are just not here, Father, I just pray that you would burden them, you would bring them back into the fold, Lord, to be with us.
I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is just to forgive. He is mighty to save. He is shelter from the storm. I love him more than all these idols I bow to. I called him Lord, and he came running, opening up his arms. Welcome home, my child, I heard him say. Welcome home. I have called on his name, now I'm telling the world the story of my Lord. How he raised me to walk in newness of life, when I had fallen short. I loved him more than all these idols I bowed to before. I called him Lord, and he came running, opening up his arms. Welcome home, my child, I heard him say. Welcome home. No more sorrow, no more.
shall say, welcome home.
Worship His holy name.
worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name.
Couple of quick things I need to mention. First of all, the playground stuff, the extra stuff that's out there, the black fence panels are going to stay. We need those. And then the rest of it, I think somebody else has already spoken for. So let you know about that. Also, Saturday, March the 30th, down at the Sparks America Campground, the BACA is sponsoring their annual Easter egg hunt. So that's the 30th. That's Saturday. The gates, they said, will open at 10 o'clock, and then the program starts at 12. So got hot dogs and nachos and stuff like that for refreshments if you'd be interested in that. The things in life that we know. We know we've got to do them. Like filing your tax returns. Yeah. You know it's got to be done. And you begin to anticipate and to prepare and dread and sweat to that April 15th cutoff date. But you know you got to do it. You know you got to do it. There are spring cleaning jobs, ladies, that you know have to be tackled, right? And you just can't wait to get them done, right? You just can't wait to get them done. The yard needs mowed. The flower beds need weeded. The dog needs a bath. Whatever. Whatever. You know things have to be done. Well, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy to do the things that have to be done. Because to do what we are supposed to do takes, first of all, knowing what to do. Secondly, a commitment to do it. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. I want to share an incident in the life of Christ. Imagine this. Imagine this. That you know from the first breath you breathe on this earth, you know from that point on exactly how you're going to die. Exactly how. Not that you're going to die, but exactly how you're going to die. This was Jesus. He knew from the beginning how his life would end. And it was a challenge. It was a challenge. Now, and I can share with you in the scripture. The Bible says that he laid down his life willingly, but not easily. Not easily. I can show you in the Bible where it describes the anguish and the torment that he went through and facing this certainty in the manner in which he is about to die. Knowing that he's going to be crucified, knowing that he's going to hang on a cross, knowing that he's going to be treated horribly, yet knowing that, the story today that the verse I want you to look at in the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, and verse number 51 tells us something about how we do what we're supposed to do, even when it's not easy. The Bible says in this 9th chapter that knowing that the time had come, that the time had come when he would be received up, that his life would be finished. The Bible said he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, to go to Jerusalem was a risky endeavor. It was something that his disciples had cautioned him against and tried to talk him out of, because in Jerusalem, there is a council of religious folks, church people, who have a death decree, who have a death warrant out against Jesus. And as soon as they find him, as soon as they can catch him, they're going to arrest him and bring him to trial. Ultimately, condemn him to die. He knows that. His disciples know that. And yet, when it was time to do what he's supposed to do, he steadfastly set his face. That is a way of describing this attitude. This has got to be done, and I'm going to do it, even if it's not easy. Jesus is our example of how you and I deal with those same situations of things that need to be done, that you know need to be done, that somehow we kind of push to the side. We ignore. The word is procrastinate. We put off doing things that we know need to be done. Jesus showed us how to deal with these kinds of things. In the book of Isaiah, I want to read this with us. I want to read this with you this morning. The 53rd chapter. Begin with verse number 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. These words are written hundreds of years before Jesus is born, describing what's going to happen. He is not ignorant of the details of his dying. He knows what's going to happen. His own disciples abandoned him. 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 56 says, when they came and arrested him in the Garden of Eden, of the first line of defense, Peter drew out his sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And he had made that comment previously. Peter already had, to the death I'll defend you. I'll die before I'll let them take you. And Jesus reached out and took that man's ear and put it back on, healed it. And he said, no, those who live by the edge of the sword die by the edge of the sword. I have to do this. But the Bible says that after this event, and they arrested Jesus, his disciples, those 12 who had walked with him and lived with him for 3 years, as close as brothers can be, turned tail and ran. He didn't have that circle of friends and encouragement to surround him in one of his darkest hours. He suffered unbelievable abuse. Unbelievable. You can read in the book of Mark, beginning with the 15th verse, that during the trial of Jesus, some of the things that they did to him, in your wildest imagination, you cannot picture the brutal treatment that Jesus had to endure during his trial. They beat him. They stripped off his clothes, naked, and beat him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They beat him with their fists. They spit on him. Treated unbelievably. When the trial was complete and he had been condemned, and as making the way toward the cross, the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, the weight of the cross was so much. His suffering had been so intense. that the Bible says he fell beneath the weight of it. So they compelled Simon to come and bear his cross. Horrible. Horrible. The crucifixion itself. The nails in the palms of his hand, through the tops of his feet. The spear thrust into his side. The anguish and suffering. Unbelievable. And he knows this is coming. He knows this is coming. When he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, he knows this is going to happen. And probably one of the most difficult things that he had to face, his own father had to look the other way. The God of heaven, his heavenly Father, who he had been so close to and so in touch with and so in tune with, in this moment, the 27th chapter of Matthew, verse 46 says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? You want to know why? Look in the mirror. Because you, me, we were the ones whose chastisement he was bearing. We were the ones whose sins and iniquities he was carrying on his shoulders, on his body in this moment. And because of that, his heavenly Father had to look away. Wasn't easy, was it? Nothing easy about that. Nothing easy about that at all. And yet he set his face to go. He set his face. The early disciples also give us a picture of the struggle, the challenge that sometimes faces us as we do the things that we know we're supposed to do. In the beginning, the Bible tells us that a man whose name was Saul of Tarsus. Now, we know Saul of Tarsus, but we know him better as Paul the Apostle. The biblical story about Paul the Apostle begins when he was Saul of Tarsus. And in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, the first 4 verses says that Saul of Tarsus relentlessly pursued the church. He created havoc, it said. He went into the churches and arrested them, having them put to death, having them beaten and thrown in prison. All manner of terrible things were happening because of the influence of Saul of Tarsus. And it says there in the 4th verse of that 8th chapter that under this persecution, the disciples were scattered abroad. They had to leave their homes. They had to leave their life behind and go somewhere else. It wouldn't be easy, would it? Pull up stakes and go somewhere else. And yet, as they went, something amazing happened. Everywhere they went, they spread the gospel. They preached about Jesus. Well, that's why Saul was throwing them in jail. That's why he's having them killed. They didn't stop. They just went somewhere else, even though it wasn't easy. We see also that the king, King Herod, the Bible says, killed James, the brother of John. And he saw that it pleased the people so much that he arrested Peter. He went up after the rest of them, threw them in jail, threw them in prison, and would have killed Peter also except for the miraculous deliverance of the hand of God. You can read that, the 12th chapter of Acts, the first 3 verses. So the king's after you. Where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? It's not easy. It's not easy. Paul and Barnabas, on one of their missions into the city of Antioch, got things stirred up so much. And listen, what I want you to understand is this. the majority of the opposition to the early Christian effort, the early Christian movement, came from the organized church of their day. Church people didn't like what they were preaching and teaching. That you didn't have to go to church to be saved. You didn't have to bow down to the priest. You didn't have to pay money for their favor. You could, by grace through faith, be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They didn't like that. And so they made all kinds of problems for them. In the city of Antioch, the Bible says they got things so stirred up in the 13th chapter of Acts, verse 50, they ran them out of town. You know what they did? They went outside the gates of the city and they went. They dusted the dust off their feet and they went on their way. Wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. Paul and Silas at a later time arrested for preaching. For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thrown into jail in Philippi. Horrible. The Bible says, beaten, thrown into prison, had their feet and their legs bound up in chains, stocks. And at midnight, what are they doing? I can't believe God's letting this happen to me. This is not right. I'm trying to serve the Lord. Bad things shouldn't happen. Is that what they're doing? They're having a prayer meeting and a praise session, singing and praising God. And the Bible says the Lord shook the walls of that prison. He caused those chains to fall off of their hands and their feet. He sprung open the door. And they just sat there. They just sat there. Didn't try to escape. And the jailer come running in. That Philippian jailer come running in. Presuming that the prisoners escaped, he was prepared. He'd drawn his sword and was prepared to take his own life because he knew that's what was about to happen to him if the prisoners had escaped. Paul called out to him, "Don't harm yourself, we're all still here." And the Bible says, trembling, he came in and looked in. Sure enough, they're all still there. He said, "My goodness gracious, guys, whatever you've got, I want. What must I do to be saved?" But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. You know what the response of that early church was? These early Christians, that they began to spread the gospel in horrible, horrible, terrible circumstances. You know what their response was when they'd get arrested, when they'd get beaten, when they'd get run out of town? You know what their response was? In the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 29. Their prayer was simply this. Pray that God would grant us boldness. We're not going to stop. That God would grant us boldness to keep preaching the word. And it wasn't easy. Of those original 12 disciples, Judas hung himself. And the Bible gives us the record of others who died. History records for us that with the exception of John, most of these men died martyr's death. They died horrible, terrible, awful deaths. Wasn't easy. Wasn't easy. God doesn't promise it'd be easy. He doesn't promise that you won't have tribulation, trial. Persecution. God does not promise you that. God promises you His presence. The psalmist David wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, You're with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." That's what God promises. It's not easy. As we prepare this morning for a time of invitation, in the book of John, Jesus outlined this. In this declaration, the fourth verse of the ninth chapter, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day." The night comes when no man can work. He also says in the 18th chapter and verse number 11, put your sword in your sheath. This is Peter had cut off the servant's ear. Put your sword in your sheath. And then he asks this question, the cup which my Father has given to me, shall I not drink it? In the 12th chapter of the book of John, verse number 27, as he's praying, sharing with his disciples, trying to make them understand what's about to happen. You know, keep in mind, they've been walking with Jesus. They've seen him do things that no man could do. They've seen him give sight to the blind. They've seen him heal those that were sick. They've seen him raise from the dead those who had died. They saw him walk on the water. They saw him feed 5,000 with two loaves and the fish. They had seen all of this. Unbelievable. They had been with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the presence of God was so overwhelming that it changed the appearance of Jesus and those who were there with him. They'd seen all this. So they couldn't understand when Jesus said, I'm going to have to die. I'm going to give my life up. They said, are you kidding? Man, we've seen you do things. All you got to do is just speak the word and you can take care of all this. And Jesus says this, my soul is troubled. Verse number 27 of the 12th chapter of John. My soul is troubled. What shall I say? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. For this cause came I unto this hour. This is what I am supposed to do. And it's not going to be easy, but I'm still going to do it. It will not be easy, folks, to do the things that God asks you to do. It will not be easy. And if you're going to get it done, you got to do like Jesus did. Like the early apostles, the early disciples did. Set your face. Clench your jaw. I'm going to get this done. Whatever you got to do, get it done. Are you looking for easy? Or are you looking for service as we stand and sing?
The Savior.